because we could take the kingdom and make another buzzword out of it. And no, and then we'll say, come to a kingdom meeting. It's like, what's a kingdom meeting? If it's a real kingdom meeting, we'll show, and kings will be produced from it.
Come on, that's so good.
Government is everywhere, personally, nationally, globally, and heavenly. Welcome to Are You Real Government, the premier media outlet where we discuss what's going on around the world and how to release God's governance, the kingdom, into it. Each week, we'll be equipping you with kingdom understanding and giving you the inside track to government leaders around the globe. Now get ready to get real about government with Are You Real Government.
This is Dub Alexander, spiritual advisor to the influential and your host of Are You Real Government. Don't forget that you can catch John Fuller and the original Are You Real Purpose every Wednesday on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcast. In today's episode, we will be concluding the interview with Dr. Andre Fizer. I hope you enjoy.
So something I've been thinking about, and I may not even put this on the podcast, but I'm just so curious to hear your thoughts on it, is that I almost feel as if in the fall that the sin or the missing the mark was simply believing that they were not as God was already. The actual eating of the fruit wasn't the sin. Yeah. It was the first act of religion trying to.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Man.
They didn't believe who they already were, or they were questioned on it. As a consciousness, we are daily choosing where we're going to live from. When he walked in the garden, God was being himself, thinking that the man was going to be himself. But the man is the one who hid. And God said, hey, where you at? And the man said, well, I hid myself because I was naked. He said, who told you you were that? Who told you you were incomplete? See, when men decided to exist from another dimension, it gave them the false perception of God. Yeah. He said, I hid myself because I was naked. And so God said, who told you you were incomplete? Who told you you were naked? So man ran away from God. God didn't do nothing to man. God didn't do anything. God walked in the garden like he always had.
That's true. That's true.
Man left the garden. So God assisted man out of something he wasn't comfortable with. And God gave him something to cover himself. See, man left his familiarity with God. God never left man.
That's true.
That's what happens. So they chose the wrong choice.
Yeah.
So but that happens with us every day, though. Every day you're looking at it. So how do you build your life? Jesus said this in the book of Revelation to one church. He says, you have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. You have a name like you're living, but you're dead. He said, to you I will come like a thief in the night. So religious people have a name that they're alive, but they're dead.
Yeah.
That's why they're always looking for Jesus to come. When is it going to come? When the rapture? Everybody ready to leave? When are you getting out of here? Oh, it's bad now. He coming. Is that kingdom got? Do y'all teach last days? Do y'all teach Antichrist in that kingdom? Do y'all teach the Mark of the Beast? We got to show the Mark of the Beast movies now.
Right.
We got to show the 666, the Mark of the Beast, Armageddon. There's a fight coming. When you're a man that has God experiences, you're a person that has the name as though you're alive, but you're dead. Or you could choose to be the fullness of God with the human experience.
Yeah.
It's a big difference.
So good.
You follow what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's the fruit that people are choosing every day.
Man, that's so good.
That's a transcendent revelation that takes it beyond Adam and Eve doing something.
Yeah.
Just even though you are the kingdom, you have to face the pressure of a common world and subdue it. The word says that God gave us authority. It's been given to us to have authority in the earth and subdue it.
Yes.
Which means bring this earth to your reality. And what they did was allow the earth to determine their reality. the serpent of the Satan, they say was subtle. And it's saying that if you're not careful, the earth that you've been given power over can be subtle in how you choose things, even in your marriage, even in your career choices. It has a subtle way of making you justifiably pick between the divine and the practical. Both are necessary, but what's the authoritative rule in which you're going to choose how to subdue this earth that you're with? And so Adam didn't choose he didn't choose from his assignment. He chose from his wife. That's why he said, the woman you gave me. He didn't choose from his assignment, which was to subdue the world.
Right.
He chose from his relationship. So it's not about that Satan was in the tree and made him eat. He chose from his love, and he didn't choose from his dominion.
Yeah.
Each one is necessary, but which one is the Lord of the situation? He chose from his wife. She chose from what was pretty.
Right.
The scripture said it don't, because she said, God said, don't eat this. So she already knew. Adam was standing there with her. And so she said, but it was pleasant to look at. So most of us, we flow according to how it looks to us, to intellect, the palate. So he gives you the story of it, and you read it like two naked people. But when you really begin to flow into that divine life, you begin to say, oh, what realm will I live from? If I live from this realm, I subdue the world. When I live from this realm, the earth subdues me.
True.
And when the earth subdues you, it puts a grave at the end for you to live in.
Yep.
See, when the earth gets through using you, it says, here go a tomb for you. Here go a grave, right? Debt is the reward you get for letting the earth use you. And that's why Jesus said in his word, the last enemy to be destroyed is debt. The earth will no longer subdue you. When the earth is done with you, it digs a hole for you until you get in there. When Christ died, he descended into the earth that subdued men, and he freed them from the earth subduing them.
Yes.
And when I believe it's in Matthew 28 or Matthew 27, the scripture says when Jesus died and went in the grave, after his resurrection, the bodies of the saints which slept arose. The graves were open, and they all walked in the city. You know, you never hear people talk about that.
That's true.
We talk about the rapture, but we don't talk about the dead people that got up when Jesus died, and they were seen by everybody.
Yeah.
It's in your scriptures. We never talk about it.
Right.
That he took over the earth by diminishing its subduance of the inhabitants. And they got out. So the kingdom or the reality was restored.
Man.
But it was restored in consciousness, and it wasn't restored in a church building. It wasn't restored where you see it, because the scriptures say the kingdom is without observation. It's not where, it doesn't have an address to it. There is not a, Where do I find the kingdom at? Well, you find it at 1414 Carrillo Way. You have to go on Canyon Drive. You find it on Canyon Drive at 605 Canyon Way. That's where we'll be. You can't find it over there. It's not located in anything.
Right.
It's in a frequency of the mind, of the inner self. That's where it is. But it looks boring. We're trying to put it in a building, though. That's where we hurt, because we're trying to put it in a location.
Right.
You can't have one for it. You could probably have a temporary place where you talk about it, but you can never put it in a place. And you can't give it a scheduled time. So I would schedule things to talk, and then there's sometimes I don't have a schedule. I want to see if everybody can feel that vibration and just show up at the same time.
Dang.
You notice people are more obedient to a schedule. But if you really leave people open to the kingdom reality, they might just come to your house and sit out on any given day. It's an unscheduled schedule. It means everybody was thinking the same thing and decided to meet up somewhere.
That's
you ever know, but I'm not saying don't schedule nothing, because I got a schedule. I meet people Sunday at noon. I meet them Thursday at 12. And then sometimes I don't even show up. And sometimes I wait to see who gonna meet me Tuesday.
Yeah.
Because if you really want this, you won't wait till the scheduled days to get it.
Yeah.
Am I making sense?
Yeah. Yeah, this is some deep stuff, man.
Oh, you all right? I didn't throw you nothing. Huh?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Dub say I'm all right. And he said this is just question number two.
Question number two. Here comes
I'm messing with you, man. Go ahead, man. What else you got?
So question number three. I'd love to hear you speak to the innate differences between religion and the kingdom.
Basically, we've been talking about that, really.
True.
I think we've sort of encompassed all of this in the discussion, but the religion is basically for the traumatized. It's a comfortable palette of spiritual vernacular and moralistic vernaculars. It's a processing plant. It's an elementary school. And it talks about the kingdom being a perfected dimension. It's perfected. That's why Paul said, let's move away from the elementary principles of Christ and let's move on to perfection.
Yes.
Not talking about salvation and repentance and laying on of hands and washing of the feet and faith in God. He even said faith in God was elementary. Come on, dude. I'm like, what you say? He said that's elementary. I was like, what? He said that's elementary, dude. He said, let's move on from faith. Believing in God. The intellectual reality of this acceptable palatry. He said, that's elementary. Believing that there is a God. I believe it is. It's something out there. That's elementary. Religion is an elementary school that pushes elementary palatry. They have some necessities. I'm not speaking against it. We all process through that elementary school. So those who are still there, we're not talking against you at all. We're not talking like we're the elite something and y'all the something, y'all. No. Jesus himself came up in the synagogue and respected his teachers. Not saying that at all. I'm just letting you know that from this elementary reality, there is a curiosity within you that should still be alive. And this curiosity for the depthness of who you are should not be quenched. What we've done in the elementary schools of religiosity is we've doused out and quenched your curiosity for greater significance. And we're sorry for that. Certain denominationalisms have quenched this wildfire of yours and made you, it took the Tarzan out of you and made you a Lord Greystoke. It took the Tarzan away from you. It took the wild imagination of creative forces and language and unique music and unique vernacular and books. It took it away and made you talk like everybody else. We're sorry. Jesus said that to the Pharisees of his day, to the Jews. He says, you evangelize and you go far and wide to get one convert and you make them twofold the son of hell, just like you. You have not entered the kingdom and you teach others not to do the same. What religion has done is taken the kingdom out of you. It replaced it with some safe, common, controllable thing that people hold you accountable to, and it's boring you to death. And it was written in Hebrews that elementary dimension was necessary. He said, but it's time to move to something perfected. Now, the perfected move is not a group discovery, it's a personal discovery. A congregation don't discover it at the same time. It's discovered individually.
Yeah.
And as each one is aroused by that inner kingdom, you move toward it. But what's happened, the more you move toward it, the more the elementary school counts you tardy and absent. And they begin to send a message to your parent to say you didn't show up for school. And so they penalize you. And so that's what's happened.
Yeah.
So the difference between religion is it tries to make you more palatable and protect you from the trauma, when really it's the trauma. It's the trauma is necessary for you to open your eyes. He's shocking your humanity to let you know that you've always been as he is. He's shocking you with something that's too good to be true.
Man.
Yeah, it's a big difference. But and so you can look at the difference between a religious teaching and a kingdom teaching. It depends on where you're coming from with that question. Because there's a big difference between a religious teacher. Kingdom teaching can be religious if there's no transformed consciousness. See, even teaching the kingdom can be religious.
Yeah.
If we are denying the oneness of the experience.
Wow.
See, it's not the nature of what you say. It's the routine from which you say it and the lack of oneness that should be experienced when you're saying it.
It's really good.
It's not what's the difference between methods. No, it's a difference between vibrations.
Right.
Kingdom, I've seen kingdom people that are religious. I was like, wow. Y'all just got the lingo. I don't even feel the vibration with you. Y'all done got Miles Monroe's book. You got some of mine. And then you kind of put the things together and then kind of sprinkle a little salt on it and stuff. And then you go and talk the kingdom. It's like, that's not the kingdom. You're talking words like that, but you're missing the vibration of it. You're missing the frequency of it. You're missing that. The meat of it isn't there. It's just a saying. It's still groups getting together saying different things, but no one's feeling a different way.
Yeah.
That's a big, and we got to be careful with that, because we could take the kingdom and make another buzzword out of it, and then we'll say, come to a kingdom meeting. It's like, what's a kingdom meeting? See, if it's a real kingdom meeting, we'll show, and kings will be produced from it.
Come on, that's so good. Yes.
Yeah, it's like, what is that? And I don't have nothing against how we say things. It's just, we can make a buzzword out of a lot of things that lack the vibrational concept of the divinity of the Father. There is a divine frequency. Jesus told the Pharisees, for a good work you'll stone me. They said, no, it's not your work, but you're just a mere human who claims to be God. That's in John, I believe, 10. He said, you're just a mere man. You're a mere man like us all. So he said, didn't your own scriptures say you were gods? But they said, you're a mere man, just like us all. You're acting more than you should. So when it's a real kingdom reality, no one will feel like mere men. See, religion will cater to your mere manness.
Yes.
Religion will remind you that you're going to die. And so you need Jesus before you die. Religion will cater to your mere consequence. The kingdom transcends it. And so you begin to build your life from the God gene that you are. You don't build it from your mere humanity. You begin to use uncommon sense rather than common sense.
I like it.
Yeah. The big difference. But they're both necessary.
Yes.
But it's which one is Lord with you?
Man.
One dimension will give safety and predictability. And the other dimension will give you influence of who you were before the foundation of the world. Now, how you pay your cell phone bill with your influence, I don't know. You have to decide how you're going to pay your house note with influence.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And when you know that you're that oneness, the influence of it will influence a new discipline in you. You just won't have revelation. But the revelation will create an influence that you will be influenced by from within yourself. See, procrastinators don't have influence over themselves. So whenever you make excuses, you don't have influence over you. You don't like yourself.
Dang.
So when you have discovered your God nature, the first thing you have is you love yourself. You love yourself so much that you schedule an activity from your influence. You have influence over you till it makes you schedule your activity. And your own influence will make you schedule how you're going to do things. And that produces the wealth of your witty ideas, which causes you to pay your bills.
That's really good.
Because you're influenced by yourself. Are you influenced by yourself? When you wake up in the morning, does the mere presence of you make you do a lot of things? See, Jesus was so influenced by himself, he could do some incredible things. He influenced himself. He held himself accountable. Yeah, that's the difference between the two.
Man,
one relates to your mere humanity. The other relates to who you were before the foundation of the world.
That phrase you said of how do you know if it's a kingdom meeting? Well, if it produces kings.
Yeah, if it produces people and take them from the mere expression of humanity, that was a kingdom meeting.
I will never forget that. That one.
I appreciate it. That'll be $25.
You got it, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
So I want to talk a little bit about how you have some books out that are readily available on Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite is the V365, which is a book of quotes.
Oh, and yeah. That was some sayings. Yeah, keep going.
I definitely want our audience to get a hold of those. They're really good. You also have a publishing company. And
yeah,
Divine House Books.
And I have another book, The Excuseless Life, 34 Inner Laws for Living Above Distraction, where I talk about the divine reality and the practical reality and how to navigate between the process of the two.
Come on.
So I have that. I really like that book. That book, I just sat down and wrote it. I didn't even think. I just wrote that out of consciousness. And then I give spiritual dynamics, and then I give practical living laws, how to practically do things. The Holy Spirit, I call him wisdom. Wisdom told me, now show people how to do it regular. So I broke it. I have certain laws where I break it down in a regular, practical form. Get up, do this. This is how you say that, go do that, do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's good. Yeah.
Really good.
But go ahead. I segued. Yep. I wrote the 365, a book of affirmations and sayings. I took a mixture of a lot of things that I wrote and I put it together and put it in different formats.
Right.
Of discovery, identity, things like that. And I have a journal involved in that book as well, where you could write how you feel about certain things in that book. So yeah, that was my first book that I wrote for Divine House Books.
It's really good. I wanted to pull a couple of quotes out of it.
Oh, please do. Please do. I appreciate it.
Yeah, with our listeners, one of my favorites was, vision will require the acquisition of new life and emotional skills.
Yeah. But I want people to look within. Most people, when you say the kingdom, they never observe how they've always been feeling. The kingdom is an observational skill. Jesus said, go into the world and teach nations, teaching them to observe. The kingdom is a keen insight into observation, things that are within and things which are without. Most people are more closer to the kingdom reality than they imagine. But they never institute their own inner thoughts from before as a kingdom thought. They think it's a religious thing. So they look for kingdom to sound more Jesus-fied than life-ified. They look for it to sound mystified rather than life-ified. And so when I talked about the kingdom, when I said vision, it will require the acquisition of a new life and emotion. Skills. It's a dimension that causes you to re-see yourself and rethink yourself and to observe things that you've seen all the time but never addressed. And I find that most people, when you tell them that, when they find out that they had it but didn't observe it, and they think that it's something else they're going to get, they usually pull away from the processing of the kingdom or the mentoring of vision. because most people don't want to take an inventory of what are of what they already have. They want to buy something different.
Dang.
It's almost like in a relationship, we're more happy with women. When, you know, before we got married, the courtship was beautiful. It was always, everybody looked good all the time. We didn't have, we didn't gain weight. We were looking good and everything. Marriage is the work. Marriage is the responsibility. The courtship is cute. You got on matching shirts. This is me. That's her. You know, your shirt say, this is me. And then her shirt say, I'm his. And yours say, I'm hers. And y'all cute and buying pictures. Got the pictures. Got the little blur. Only fuzz in the back. You got the, you know, the portrait. And everything. It's cute. Y'all eat. But when you're married, she got to wash your underwear and your drawers and everything. She has not up. The people divorce because they married. So people, they constantly like courtship. They don't like oneness. And so in religion and in vision, we like to be courted. We want God to be new all the time. We hate the marriage of the oneness. We'd hate that. So we got to keep finding something to spark it. You follow what I'm saying? Okay. So vision is the same way. It's going to require a new emotional skill. You're going to have to see that this is a responsibility within you. This is a different life component of yours. Right. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and that's what people miss. It's going to require that. Vision will require the acquisition of new life and emotional skills, a different emotional observation to do some things. It's not just a bunch of incredible words you got to learn the definition of and then take a test and then we declare you a kingdom student. And it's not that at all. If you're going to be a kingdom teacher, a teacher of the mysteries of the divine mind, there's a way that we got to show people how to handle their conscious, their memories, their emotion, their perception, but we bore easy. See, we're actually teaching marriage when people want courtship. You see what I'm saying? I know you got some more. What you got?
We'll do one more of these quotes, and this is from the book V365 again, and it says, "What we do with words of God will determine what God does through our words."
Oh, yeah. How do you look at words of God? We are words of God. What we do with what God said, we are what God said. That will determine what God does with us. What we do with our mind, what we do with what we have eaten, what we do as being a thought of God will determine what the God of us will do with the words that we said. God is as powerful as your readiness. Yeah. God is not outside of you waiting to show off. God is you. What you do with the thought will determine what God does with yourself. So what is God doing with how you think of him? What is God doing with how you think of you? How do you think of you because of God?
Yeah.
How do you think God feels of you? Feel about you? What was the thought that God had when he thought of you when he created you? He had a thought of you. Have you found out how God felt about you when he thought of you? So do you live the thought that God has of you? When you live the thought that God has of you when he thought of you, you will create from that thought. How does God feel? What kind of feeling do you bring to the divine? Do you know what that feels like?
So good, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of us, that's too much to live every day.
Right.
We want to preach it because it makes you sound like a genius. And then people will give offerings, and then we can buy your information, and then we can look at it, and then we can say it. But you can't sell an experience. You can only sell a book.
Right.
The experience, though, is what opens up the vault in every man.
So good.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But see, because we're humans, we're looking at time, so we're afraid of process. We are afraid of patience because we're regular. And when you're regular, you don't like patience because you feel you don't have time to put all your books together because you're 45 years old. And I'm going to die soon. See, the ground is calling. Whenever the earth is telling you, we got a hole for you, you got to rip and get all your nuggets together because you keep hearing the earth calling. You're not hearing the kingdom calling you. You're hearing the grave calling you. And see, whenever we hear the grave calling us, we don't have patience to do anything. We don't have the time to build that. That's why a lot of people you may see, and I'm pretty sure when y'all have y'all gatherings, a lot of people got a lot of questions. How do you take the kingdom? How do you take the words? How do you win? When God's given you dreams and you I know you've seen it. I know you have. When God's given you dreams and they tell you that you're crazy and you know. And you got to keep telling the people they're not crazy. But how do you? They say that because the earth is telling them they're going to die soon. So they don't know how to have the mind to eat it and live from it and process it because they keep hearing the earth calling. They don't hear the heavens calling. They hear the earth. See, all of us live according to what's calling out to us.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
That's freaking good.
So what we do with words of God determine what God does with our words.
Yeah.
Determines how you manifest it. However it was manifested in you determines what is manifested on the outside.
Yeah.
But how do you? I just kind of like saying that. It was fun saying it like that. When I used to go to Portland, I used to talk like that at Barry's. I used to go up there, I done all kinds of stuff. I didn't had so many characters over there in Portland. It was something else. I didn't had all kinds of characters. I would teach from different characters. Right. How do you go? And then I have a guy. How you gonna do that? And then Barry would do the same. Me and Barry would go out to eat, and And we just start talking in our little voices, man. It was funny, man. I just wanted to throw a little plug out there to Bear.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Well, I'm gonna have the in the show notes there will be links to your books. I'll also have andrefizer.com on there.
Yes, Andre Fizer, UndraFizer.com. Yes.
I'd also encourage people to add you on Facebook because you put out.
Please do.
Such good quotes on the regular and little
Thank
videos
you.
Where you're teaching. It's really good. So make sure that you guys get a hold of all that. And is there any last words that you want to say to the people?
Hey, the kingdom is already here. It's been here. It's not coming through a preacher. Now, a preacher may give you an awareness of what's here. But the real great ones will make you aware of what you've already been hearing all your life. The real good teachers. The real good teachers know how to remind you. They'll remind you of what you never told anybody. The real good prophets are more than accurate. They are the greatest reminders that God have ever had. They'll speak things that make you think of conversations you had with your cousin when y'all were shooting basketball at the park. When y'all were at Dairy Queen, that conversation you had with the clerk, they'll remind you of a living experience and they're going to freak you out. But don't be scared. That's the kingdom coming to you, from you, for you, as you. The kingdom is more than a buzzword. The kingdom is who you were before the foundation of the world, but you forgot who you were. And so you adopted the tree of the regular. So when the kingdom is stirred, he's going to bring a new tree with it. And it's going to be the tree from the before. And it's going to be all right. Oh, yeah. Thank you, man. I really enjoyed this.
Awesome.
Hopefully your listeners won't get too crazy. They'll say, hey, man, he was cool.
Yeah.
They'll say, we don't want that Pfizer no more. No.
It's going to be good.
They're good, man. I'm just messing with you. I like to have fun, man.
I hope you enjoyed the conclusion of the interview with Dr. Andre F. Fizer. You can find his books on Amazon, follow him on Facebook, and of course find him on the web at andrefizer.com. That's UndraFizer www.kingdomkingdom.com. Until next time, it's been Dub, it's been Kingdom, and it's been real.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Are You Real Government? For in-depth resources, show notes, information on today's discussion, or to connect with your host personally, please visit rureal.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the other podcasts in the Are You Real family. Until next time, thanks for keeping it real with Are You Real Government?